Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ramble.
So what's really great about this is that we kind of came in here with our fearless leader, Zach Kornfeld, and we're going to have to find him, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, by the way, we're at Mythical Kitchen. Zach immediately disappeared.
Yeah, Zach sort of faded into the wings, and I thought that was really interesting for him to sort of... We came into an environment where we normally don't go here, yeah. And we're sort of wandering in past people on laptops enjoying themselves. I know,
so
we don't have our in.
Zach, this is so embarrassing.
Zach, we lost you. Oh, how's it going, man?
Hi.
Good to see you.
Okay, one sec.
Oh my gosh. I do want a sweatshirt.
How you doing, Randy?
That was such an entrance. Also, I just sat down on your couch.
Sorry, we can make room. We can make room.
So she could not be screaming.
The dumbbells are a great example of collective bargaining from labor in the Mythical Kitchen, because what had happened, our female talent was like, hey, we need like standardized makeup budget for shoot days. And like, you know, we don't have a hair and makeup artist typically. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Like all the talent's going to get a makeup budget. I took my whole budget and I put it into dumbbells.
Hey, we're here at the Mythical Kitchen offices. We're here with Josh Scher. We're hanging out. How much does a dumbbell cost? Because you said you put your whole budget to that, and that seems wrong. It seems like you got ripped off.
It can't be. Are they priced per pound?
They are priced per pound, and you can buy like an adjustable dumbbell set. I know this is what people want to hear.
Yeah, they love this.
You can buy an adjustable dumbbell set on like Amazon for very cheap, and you can take it from 5 pounds to 50 pounds, and it's probably $100. These together, I think, cost $180, and there was no price tag on them, and I got up to the big five... cash register, and they said $180.
$180?
And I was too proud to just take it, go like, oh, no, thank you.
And also because they're heavy, so you're like, I know that I'm gonna have you, the cashier, move these.
Do you think that you can lift 30 pounds?
Oh, no problem. I can even lift it proudly, Zach. Watch. It's going to be really easy for me to do. Okay, 30 pounds. Well, obviously doing this all the time. What? 30 pounds of pure muscle.
You're so strong.
Honestly, I don't lift weights. And recently, somebody, it was Kelsey Dara, told me that weightlifting is the number one way to extend your life.
That can't be true.
Care to comment?
Care to comment, Josh?
I have destroyed myself from weightlifting. It has been a huge part of my life, but I fractured my back and have 3 bulging discs and a torn rotator cuff and a torn labrum.
What are we talking, L5-S1?
L5 is where the fracture is. Yeah,
got it,
yeah.
Cool.
So tell me about this, because okay, this is what the people want to hear. They came here for food, and we're going to talk about pain.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You are maybe the strongest man I know.
Thank you.
Okay, interesting.
Okay, interesting. Miles is standing right here.
But you also, like, every time we want you to, like, okay, we've had you on our channel, and you were like, oh, I can't bend down because I broke my back.
That's correct.
But then you're also still weightlifting. So what the fuck is going on with you?
That's a great question. So what happened? I will say,
are you in pain all the time?
Yes.
And are you doing anything about
it? Well, I have been my whole life. No. Because my whole life, it's always been food and sports. And most people know me from food, but like, I went to school on a track and field scholarship for...
Okay, runner. I'm a runner too.
Well, so I'm not a runner.
Not as good. But.
I'm not a runner. I did shot put, hammer throw, and discus.
Oh my gosh, the best parts of Mario Kart Olympics.
Yes. Bowser and the hammer throw kills it. And that's the only way that people know what hammer throwing is. But... It is such a life of chronic pain that all these athletes go through, because your body isn't supposed to take a 16-pound ball and throw it 250 feet. And so my whole life, even like I had a permanent blood blister on my finger from where the hammer released, but it was super normal for me. Not only normal, it was like, this is good because you have a scholarship. This is your ticket to the next part of your life.
Wow. What do you do for pain management? Do you have any fun bombs? Any, no? You want some?
I
actually weird. I had it in my pocket and I took it out right before we left our office.
Your CBD balm?
It's so good.
You put it on me one time and it was like my body was electrocuted. It was totally weird.
Was it nice though?
It was nice.
It's CBD,
it is nice.
Lidocaine, and menthol, so it like lights you up like a Christmas tree.
I would love that. I have never taken any effort into pain management.
So you just let it ride.
I let it ride, and also I love any sort of stimulation because it distracts me from
it. Right,
which is why I'm constantly like listening to incredibly heavy music, like Norwegian black metal kind of stuff. I mean, from the moment I wake up, from like 6 a.m. to 8, I'm in the gym and I'm doing some sort of physical stimulation and just blasting metal. There's some crazy stuff coming out of Australia now. Shout out to Kim Dracula, Live Conform Die.
Kim Dracula, huge fan of the show.
Kim Dracula,
Kim Dracula, love is an avid tripod listener.
Yeah, spicy food that helps. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Huh,
yeah.
Distraction. It's all about distraction.
I have a like an acupressure mat, and it's just a spiky fucking mat.
Okay.
And it hurts, but it hurts good.
It's the one with it like kind of pins your little body.
Okay.
Into
actually,
tiny
here's
needles.
Another example. I was walking along the beach. Love that. And I was doing that thing like where you like walk barefoot like on like rocks and shells.
Yeah, yeah.
And it hurts. And everyone else I was with was like, no, I have to get out. And to me, I was like, no, I find this so meditative. I find it so grounding and peaceful. And I realized it's because it's like the right amount of pain that it allows me to tap out of the other pain.
You're like the kid in high school wearing shorts being like, it's not that cold. I actually really like it. I actually love it. It's so good.
Okay, that's me.
I tried to be a shorts kid in the winter because I was so enamored by the kids that could just wear shorts no matter the temperature.
Yeah.
And they're nuts.
I was enamored by
them. Tell me this, Josh. Are you doing the cold plunges? Everybody's doing the cold plunges these days.
I'm not doing the cold plunges. I would try it. I don't think I believe in the panaceic science of it all, or people.
I don't even know what that word means.
Panacea is.
I didn't ask for an explanation.
Okay, that's fine.
Actually, we don't want to know. Panacea is sort of the big. It was the big country.
No, close. Okay, you're talking about the Hunger Games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Pangea.
Pangea.
I'm talking about Pangea.
Did you guys ever play that game in college, the drinking game? Pangea?
And just one second.
Sorry.
Rainy, panacea means cure-all. I have to say it. Panacea means cure-all.
What if our game today is to not let Josh explain things?
Terrible game.
That would kill me. That would kill me.
So this is that the science behind like the types of fat that cold plunges target, you don't believe in.
Not only do I not believe in it, I feel it's demonstrably false. I think it's just not true at all.
Really?
So the reason I bring it up is because here's what I wonder. When I take my dog out to pee at night and I'm wearing a t-shirt, am I not cold plunging into the air?
No.
Fuck you.
Well, here's what I'll say. Have you done it once?
I used to do a lot of ice baths and contrast bathing, which is, they just call that cold plunges now, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's like, yeah, I guess. You do, because I'm kind of a cold plunge king and you're shattering my world here. But
are you really? I didn't know that.
I do like to do it, but you know what I'm saying is it's not for any sort of exercise reason.
No, it's up here.
It's for your brain.
It's for the mind, where it feels like what I want coffee to do.
Yeah.
It's afterwards, I get like, me and my friends, it's like probably the dorkiest thing about me, but we do cold.
Well, don't sell yourself short.
Can I talk to you for a second, Seth? So we'll do
You're
cold.
You're embarrassing me in front of my new friend, Josh.
No way.
I want him to think I'm cool.
That's never going to happen. Basically, we'll do a cold plunge and then do improv in my friend's backyard. And it's like...
That's not dorky at all.
Unbelievably. Thank you,
Rainy,
for
validating. You know I tell people about this?
You do?
I tell every time cold plunge comes up or every time improv comes up, I tell people what you do and I say, isn't that just the most darling thing you've ever heard?
Well, it really like... Because it gives you this like buzz.
Yeah.
That you just feel buzzing. And I like that a lot about it.
All right, enough of this bullshit. Let's go around the office.
Okay, wait. Before we go, I really... Okay. I really have to ask a number of questions about this office.
Yeah.
Number one.
Rainy, can I ask you a question before you ask your questions?
Yeah, of course.
It's not a question. It's a statement. There's no way your camera's shooting anything, right?
It's getting gold.
It's vibes.
This is actually going on a good point. Thing. Honestly, this will be my cam, so now I can just focus on Zach.
Okay,
as
great.
As long as me and Rainy are triangulated, we're capturing everything. Well, so, yeah, a couple questions here. You've got the baby food eating contest champion belt on the walls here.
So you guys, I ran away from you because I've been to this office many times over the years. This office has gone through many variations. This was mythical when they had, what was it? It was like a YouTube show.
We call it GMM 22, and I don't know why.
It was a jam-packed season that YouTube paid for. Mm. They bought this extra space. They built it out. Then they, I think, I'm not spoiling anything by saying they hated that experience.
We were making 4 full-length videos a day.
Oh, you know what it was?
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
It started out as super jam-packed episodes of Mythical, and then they were like, no, let's break them up into segments, right? So it was 4 episodes of Mythical every single... That's fucking crazy. So then...
Insane.
Hello.
Hello.
So then this office was just like, hey, we got space. They let us do an episode of, I think, the second ever episode of Without a Recipe we shot here.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that's right.
And then this became the Smosh offices for a little bit when I walked over here. This, I believe, was Ian's office at one point. And now it's the Mythical Kitchen office.
And now it's us. And we have some really cool artwork from our new cookbook. Boom, getting in a cookbook plug.
Yeah, so when the hell am I going to get a copy of that?
We have currently one copy that exists.
I want you to send me the care package.
Oh, Zach.
We might do something crazy. Because here's the thing about the care packages. No one
They're a total
cares.
Waste of money.
They're a waste of money.
They're a total waste
Absolute
of money.
Absolutely waste. So we're thinking about, instead of doing care packages, trying to lure all of our cool LA friends to one location and actually do something cool and give
cook
people a book.
You should cook for us.
What if it was somebody that was even better at cooking than me?
Right, impossible.
Cook for you, that was inspired. What if I told you it's so possible for somebody else?
What if I told you I'm mostly talking?
Do you remember what Roy Choi said to me during the episode of Phoning It In that we shot?
No, right when I bet walked you through remember.
The door? Oh, boy, I do.
I walked
into set and I did not... Roy Choi, one of my culinary heroes.
Of course.
Known him since I was in college and I was a food journalist. And I walk on set and he goes, Josh, what the fuck? You're not a chef.
No way.
Because I'm not. I'm not.
I would break down. I would start crying on site.
I had to cook Korean food for him because it ended up being a HelloFresh.
Yeah, we had a sponsorship on that one.
And it was like a ground turkey bulgogi thing, and I had to cook with that. You had to cook with that. And then it's for Roy Choi, who is the patron saint of Korean-American cooking. But he's correct, because when he knew me and we worked together, I was a journalist. I've been in food media my whole career. I've worked in restaurants a little bit.
And you had reviewed it. You knew him from before your... Yeah.
Yeah.
For years.
I covered his new restaurant openings. I reviewed his restaurants for a major magazine in Los Angeles. So it was called Los Angeles the Magazine. And so I've known him from that angle. And so I'm not a chef to him. But boy, is that not heartening when the judge goes, what the fuck? You're not a chef.
Roy is, I mean, if for people not in Los Angeles. Yeah.
That is tough.
Roy Choi is just as iconic a chef as it gets. And as accomplished a chef as it gets, he essentially is single-handedly responsible for creating the food truck wave in LA, by extension in the country. Every restaurant he has is so delicious. And every time I meet him, I never know if he loves me or hates me.
Yeah,
because he keeps coming back. He loves shooting with us.
You guys pay him $100,000 an episode,
We
right?
empty the bank. And then he's there, and as soon as he gets, I'm like, oh, Roy's coming back. He must love us. And then he gets there, and I'm like, I think this guy fucking hates me. And then at the end, he's like, so great to see you. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
I forget if this was me or something Eugene cooked, where he quietly takes out his phone and takes a picture. And this wasn't for camera. This he was just doing it for him. And we go, Roy, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I just want to remember one of the worst moments of my life.
That's so funny.
He's a Simon Cowell of the food industry.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay.
I think he's being completely
himself.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's himself.
It's not that.
100%.
I mean, speaking of Gordon Ramsay, you know him personally.
Great. So I go, me and Gordon, best friends now.
How did he smell? Nice, like cologne?
He's got to smell like
very faint, very faint cologne, kind of like Parker House rolls if you spritzed them with some Acqua di Gio. Really nice, actually.
Let's start walking around, and I want to hear more about
Gordon
Ramsay.
Can I walk somewhere very specifically?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you guys shouldn't come in, because I was expecting somebody to be like, hey, the
track for you.
Yeah. And then instead I just see Zach kind of meandering, and because when they said that they're ready for you, I was gonna go pee first.
Right,
you can pee, so we'll take you by the bathroom.
Yeah, let's go to the bathroom. Let's go to the bathroom.
Beautiful bathroom.
Oh, those are my headphones, not any equipment dragging. Okay,
and then I'm just gonna leave my phone there, so we'll just make a lap.
How
distracting are we?
You ever watch Waterworld?
They have the kind of Kevin Costner.
Yeah, won the Oscar.
Classic,
greatest movie of all time.
Oscar
and won the Oscar. They have little flotillas where they're tied together. That's what I feel like we're doing right now.
Isn't that one of the most... Okay, go ahead, Miles.
No, go ahead, yeah.
So you're going to go to the bathroom.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll just take a break
Just
here.
Number one.
Cool.
If you need to take a number two, just don't. No, I'll take it. All right, cool.
Here, let's go into this kitchen over here.
All right, we'll just go right here. Zach, are we blowing this?
No, we're doing so good. Zach, the bathroom, we got to be as cool as that bathroom.
It's a cute bathroom.
It's also, our office looks stupid as frick compared to this.
Yeah, I would say
look at all the cool shit on the wall.
Yeah, I believe Rhett's wife, whose name I'm blanking on, designed this whole spot, and she's very talented.
I just think that I'm just still in the bathrooms and how ours are corporate.
Our bathrooms also have the fucking
sink.
Oh, because you saw that they had cool wallpaper in their bathroom.
And the nice sink.
And what do we have? A fucking sink that blows soap in your eyes. And it's because it's an automatic sink.
Look,
and you
I'm
put
not
your
happy
hand.
About
no, no, no. Let
sink.
Me explain it.
I'm
let me complain about it just one more time. Because I think we've talked about it a lot on the pod. Basically, you'll soap your hands up, get them all ready, soap, and you put them in, and the dryer comes on, and it blows the soap right into your eyes.
The other thing we have in the bathroom is just one single frame that says 5 stars would poop here again, which is kind of funny, but it's kind of
like
it's
kind
it was
of
funny the first time. Oh, it's chuggy. Okay, Rainey, let's hear a joke.
Millennial
pitch.
Core.
Let's hear a joke. Pitch for the bathroom.
I want to be clear. I didn't design it.
I think it's time
for a new energy.
I agree.
I think we redo the bathroom.
I think we hire the person to do
Rainey,
this office.
You're up.
Yeah.
Holy
what's my budget?
Shit. Rainey develops the office.
A million?
Blank check, Rainey. As if you do,
yes.
If you use your two bare hands, I will spare no expense.
I'm loving this.
Welcome back.
How'd it go?
Well, it took extra. Pretty good. It took extra long because I had to pre-wash my hands.
Why?
Because I ate some spicy Thai larb.
Oh,
and larb on the penis. It's not going
to
be good.
No. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And I've had that happen before. I tweeted something about like part of sexual health is also notifying your partners if you've handled chilies because that happened to me on a date to myself. Luckily, very luckily, I touched my genitals before. Yeah,
so lucky.
She much rather it be me than
so
her.
Lucky.
Much rather it be me than her.
Did and she? What did she have to? This is an episode of High Maintenance. This happens as well.
Oh really?
The show. He puts.
Yeah, we're
chilies.
Blocking the hallway.
Oh, yeah,
we'll just get out of here.
We can move into
but
an
so
open space.
You had to notify her.
Oh,
hi, I just want to let you know that my penis is on fire.
Yeah, and you know, clean STI panel, but.
But I did.
I was
really.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But I was making salsa. She loves spicy food, and that was. Pretty cool, and I love cooking for people as like an act of service, and I love peeing, and when all those things combine,
it's a natural disaster.
Okay, so this kitchen is beautiful.
It really is.
So we initially shot all of the before the Mythical Kitchen spinoff channel existed. We're publishing the videos onto the Good Mythical Morning channel, and we didn't have our full kitchen set, which we can go into later. We were shooting here, where y'all shot without a recipe,
right?
But now we've since launched another food brand at Mythical called Sporked. Is like a mostly a written publication.
Right
now, Sporked is testing out the best gluten-free frozen pizzas.
It's Costco.
Oh.
Is it really?
You think it's
Costco?
Yeah,
I think it's Costco for sure.
Do they have Kirkland out there?
If they don't have it, that's tough.
I'm looking at a couple of these options, and I'm thinking that's going to be a no. But Kirkland does have decent pizza.
I love Costco.
I think what they do should be illegal.
Costco?
Tell me.
And Trader Joe's. So they do something called white labeling. Where
I love you so much for saying this. Let's hear it.
To me, it's just not a transparent process. Not a lot is transparent within industrial food packing in America.
Yeah.
But Trader Joe's, everybody assumes it's like healthy for some reason.
Oh, right.
No,
you know
it's
what I
just
mean?
The
it's
design not. Is just they just have my number.
Right.
I just know what I want to see,
and they know what a lot of people love to see. But a lot of Trader Joe's products ditto with Kirkland, but Kirkland's a little bit more naked on it. Like everybody knows Kirkland's vodka is Kettle One or Grey Goose or whatever.
Oh, I did not know that. That's interesting.
And so they are using.
Right, everyone knew that for sure. We're also as smart as you, huh?
They're using like other big name company factories and then just putting their own label on it, kind of obscuring where it comes from. So if you're going to Trader Joe's specifically and you think something is going to be healthier, more organic, whatever, because they've kind of used their marketing materials in that way, it could be coming from General Mills or Kellogg's or Campbell's or another big name producer. And Costco does the same exact thing with their Kirkland signature brand.
You're sort of like matcha Mandarin chicken bites or whatever are going to just be made by a different big box store.
Correct. Yeah.
Sears, for example.
Not all the time, but in the event that it is, like, you should know roughly where your dollars are going.
Yeah. All right, let's keep moving.
Right. Yeah, we're going to keep it moving here.
Show us your favorite parts of The Office.
Okay, well, this is cool. This is our conference room.
Ooh.
And so if you really want to intimidate somebody in a one-on-one meeting, you just invite them in here and you sit at opposite ends of the table.
Oh, this is so sick. Hey, Zach.
Zach, are you
kidding me?
Wow, look at all the awards they have.
We have all the awards. Come on, we only have like one.
I did think we have a lot of awards, and then I came into this room, and I'm now feeling like we have less awards.
Okay, yeah, we have one stream,
two,
but
three,
I did steal
four,
it.
Okay, there are 5, 6, 7, 8. Wait, how many? Nine,
what are the coils? 10.
Those are 12 Webbies.
Those are Webbies.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, 14 Webbies.
I think those two are ours. I think those two are Mythical Kitchen Webbies.
5 Streamies. Thank you. Yeah, hug me. 5. I don't even know what the fuck this is.
Oh, the headphones?
Signal Award. I want that one.
Yeah.
That,
oh, I want one of these.
I'm sorry. Is that a podcast award?
Did you ever see?
I'm sorry. Whoa. You won?
Yeah, I won a signal.
Well, okay. Did you ever see the clip from Jim Carrey at the MTV Movie Awards where he goes up there and he gives the acceptance speech where he goes, "Thank you to MTV for creating this award show, knowing that if actors didn't show up, they would be perceived as rude."
Yeah.
And so it's basically just the power of if you start an award, people start caring about it. Signal, I think, is about 2 or 3 years old. Not to invalidate your Signal Award, because we all worked hard for our Signal Awards.
Yeah.
But I think it is like a 2 or 3-year-old award. They made cool-ass trophies.
It's a cool trophy.
Well, this is a 2023 winner. Ear Biscuits.
Yeah.
It's a
winner. Show one of ours.
Oh, no. Hold on. Hold the fuck
Where's
on.
The hot dog is a sandwich?
Because it's a very cool trophy, and I don't have one.
Well, I won one, for my show Perfect Person. But honestly,
we are going to have to bleep.
No, we're not going
to
bleep.
I don't.
But it's, but what's great about it is that I won the listener's choice.
You have a fucking award?
I have a signal for you.
You got a
pitch. But I remember I told everyone to vote for me, and I was like, vote for the signal. And it was so clear that I won by a landslide. Mm. And they gave me silver. And a little thing that was like, listener's choice, silver.
We don't know what the silver, gold, and bronze means, but we have one of each.
And then they gave the award to some other fucking guy.
Wait, which
Jay
one
Shetty.
Won gold?
You hear that, Jay Shetty? You can fucking eat my ass. Let's go.
I'm not going to say the only one that's won gold. Let the record show.
Hell yeah.
Did you accept the award?
I think now's the first time I've fully accepted it.
They don't
you didn't go to
no awards.
Do you want to do a speech right now?
Do a speech.
And the winner of the 2023 Gold whatever Signal Award is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Oh my
food and drink.
Oh my god, no, I can't.
Heavy.
I just, all those who have come before me, I stand on the show.
Shout out the tripod.
I just never thought it. Shout out the tripod.
No, the tripod.
I mean, Jay Shetty out there.
No, don't shout out Jay Shetty. Take it back.
I'm so sorry. I just get really emotional about these things. I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Now, would you say as a creator, is it safe to say that an award is really all that matters?
That is why we do it. Yes. Yeah. No. Fuck the audience. Fuck the community. It's about this. This is so heavy. What is this? I've never lifted.
Rainey, I want to. I'm gonna hold this for a second. Hold it.
It's also kind of loose. This moves.
It moves.
What is this made of? Tungsten? What? What?
I mean,
that's crazy.
This is heavy.
We need one.
It feels good though.
I feel like I'm gonna drop
awards,
it.
The
on
fuck,
my foot.
Bro? We have the best podcast that ever existed. Actually, Josh, if you don't mind, just stepping out for a second.
Oh yeah.
Our podcasts are way better than the fucking Mythical podcast. What do they talk
Zach
about?
Zach's ego Look is at like the, really
Zach,
you,
Zach, you've got to be looking at all the awards they've got.
This is a massive conference room.
It's big. The crazy thing is, it's too small.
Really?
What?
When we have for the whole company?
Yeah, when you have an all hands meeting, there's not enough seats for everybody. How do we move through a doorway in this configuration?
That's a good question.
We sort of figured it out.
Is that a leak tattoo?
It is a leak
That's
tattoo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that a lot.
Why leak?
So leaks are.
This one's pretty new.
I'm sure you've said this a million times. Is this not good content?
No, I haven't. I don't know if I've explained it on camera a lot. It has to do with my dead dad. Cue the sound. The soundboard. But
you want to do the booze?
So when my dad died, I realized how much basic cooking tasks really meant for me. The meditative aspect of just hammering through vegetable prep. Leeks are notoriously one of the hardest vegetables to clean and prep because there's 1,000 layers. You have to separate all of them, wash the sand out from all of it. And so to me, it's like the idle hands are the devil's playground situation, where it's like if you are ever struggling, you can always just lose yourself into hard labor. And through hard labor, you'll be set free.
It's that kind of thing. That's the reason they got the signal, because he's like interesting and has good stuff to say. That's a beautiful story. Yeah.
And then I have the lower back, the lower back tattoos.
What do you have lower back?
Have you not seen them?
No.
I had my shirt off for a long time last time I was around you. You've
definitely been naked in our office a lot.
Yeah, I guess I'm always like front facing.
That's fun.
Yeah.
No. Is that Babish?
So that is Babish. Yeah, yeah. I got his face tattooed on my lower back because I lost a bet.
That's so funny.
Oh my God.
You lost a bet to him?
Yeah, my show Food Fears at the time was nominated for a Streamy up against just his whole channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew I was going to lose, but he was on Food Fears. And I was like, hey, let's make a bet. We have to get each other's faces tattooed, whoever loses. And then he won. Not only that, he couldn't make it. So I accepted the award for him. And I'd never done anything like that. I had just started. It was the first thing I'd ever done on camera. Immediately nominated for a Streamy Award. And so I have to get up in front of all these other big YouTubers. And, you know, I'm like 8 double scotches deep. And I'll never forget.
8?
Yeah, thank you. I'm big. But I got there. And I just remember going, food is love. Food is community. And then I walked away. And so it went pretty well.
That's awesome. Love that. You nailed it.
And you got the tattoo.
I got it.
Wow, you followed through. I can't believe you followed through on that. I would have made that bet and then not.
I imagine that you weren't engaged at that point.
I was.
You were. So I
when I got the tattoo, yeah, Julia was in the room.
I've thought about getting a lot of joke tattoos, and I've come to a realization that like my body as a canvas no longer belongs to me wholly. Like, I'm not the one that has to look at the stupid things that I do. And so I'm curious how she feels about a lower back tattoo of Babish.
I think she would rather it not be there, but that whole idea of my body no longer belongs to me. And I know you're saying that more as like a...
I mean visually.
Sure,
I mean
sure,
that
sure.
I don't need to deal with the repercussions.
Your choices
of this.
No longer exist in a vacuum.
Yes.
I think it's really important that they do though. Mm. Like, yeah, in a relationship, I think, and you know, me and Julia are like, independence is really key to both of us. And I think when you see all these memes on Twitter, it's like, I want someone to be fully obsessed with me. And it's like, I don't.
Right. Sure.
It's, to me, that's like the essence of like dehumanization. I know there's a fine line between not wanting you to get a joke lower back tattoo and dehumanizing to the point of obsession.
Dehumanize, yeah.
But to me, like, she is fully like your body, your choice.
Hell,
we
yeah.
need
that's
to be
so
able
awesome.
To live. Yeah, with those things fully separated.
So this is the beauty of Josh. You throw out a little joke and he gets into philosophy.
And he's going to bite in deep.
Sure, man.
I love that.
As we move into the next room, I want you to tell... So you tweeted out the other day that you got sort of a bucket list dream, that you got your big... The guest of all guests for last meals. And I was sitting there thinking, interesting, because we haven't been invited on yet. And I'm sure that's just...
Zach, you've got to play it a little cooler. Like, this
is wild for Zach to do. Yeah,
but you
he does this a lot. Yeah, we took in the tripod on the road. We're sort of just going to different offices
just
and Zach's whining.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't know what the even worse truth about that is. One of the dry guys has been invited on. It's Eugene.
It just wasn't Zach.
Did he say no?
No, he was just like, I'm really busy. You should ask Keith.
And then you guys said, we're good.
And so, actually, Zach, you are
I'm
the only one.
Well,
we never invited Keith.
By the way, though,
he's been on.
So it's a great show, and I've looked at it a lot, and I don't know how I would ever... I can't be a guest, because my final meal would be all the shit that I can't eat, and then I would just have crazy die-die for the next couple days.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all sacrifice for our art.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, like you just plan for the diarrhea. You do a podcast on the toy.
Not that Hot Ones is, like, inviting me, but I don't even know that I could do it.
Hot Ones?
You might just die. Like, the inflammation would just kill
you. It would literally kill me.
So this is a fantasy where you're invited on Hot Ones.
I started by saying, they are not interested in us anymore.
Anymore? Did they ask you to be on?
No, I just mean, like, that show started with YouTubers, and now
we're
doing Megan Thee Stallion or Bust.
Yeah, it started with, like, Tony Yayo, the rapper, was the first ever guest on Hot Ones. Funny thing about Hot Ones, it started off as a complete troll of the genre that they are now... a part of.
That's
I don't know if you know this. The whole bit was like they wanted to start the anti-celebrity interview show, and they were like, "If you get past the 10th wing of death, are you allowed to plug something?"
Right. Which I loved that as a prep. It was so fun.
Same. And so
that's
it was
funny.
You know, an absolute troll job on what the genre was supposed to be, and now they've sort of dropped that shtick because it is just the biggest.
It's the biggest interview show.
100%.
Tell Jennifer Lawrence she can't promote her new movie.
I know.
Yeah, right.
Well, I had a story, but I have been doing whining as a bit, and Rainey is indicating that I've gone too far.
No, I'm curious. So, what is it?
Yeah, now you sort of teased it.
Go ahead, Zach. Let's go for it.
Let it rip. So I've debated coming out clean about this because it does ruin our chance of ever consummating this relationship. Mm. But you
I think, and he knows that means to have sex with, yes?
Well, like
that
emotionally. Was what
I yeah.
So you just filmed an episode with Gordon Ramsay, very exciting.
Yes.
And I believe it was because he invited you on to his show.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, tell me about this. You went to Vegas, you filmed for his YouTube channel, and as part of it, it was like, hey, we'll film something with you.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know who thought they won in this exchange, but yeah. I think everybody because that was kind of confusing. Was it like, wait, are we doing you a solid or are you doing us a solid? I don't know what goes on in the back rooms here.
Yeah.
All I know is we flew out to Vegas for one day, didn't stay over, flew out at 7 in the morning, and it was a sandwich cook-off on a show, Idiot Sandwich. It actually comes out tomorrow from the time that we're recording this, so it should already be out.
Unless y'all are. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I had to cook against Rhett and Link, which sounds like it should be a softball, but the problem is I'm the only one that has anything to lose, right? And Gordon Ramsay's judging, and like Rhett knows how to cook, and he already took fried chicken sandwich off the board, which is something that I can cook really well in 20 minutes, especially. And so Rhett's making
you
like a 20
minutes?
20 minutes.
Oh,
that's intense.
That's
yes.
So hard.
I ended up making him a like carne asada cheesesteak. Because I wanted to use this technique with sodium citrate and the cheese sauce to try and kind of like blind him with a little bit of science. And it worked because he was like, mate, you're like a young Heston Blumenthal, the chef of the Fat Duck, of course, 3 Michelin star.
We all know that.
Invented his signature dish was called meat fruit. You guys know it?
Yum.
It was a pate, but it was designed to look exactly like a clementine orange. It even had a leaf
so
on it.
Oh, sick.
Really
no,
sick,
I do not
actually.
Know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we did that, and I won only because Rhett like undercooked his chicken. I think he might have beaten me. It was tough. And you're outside, and there's like a live
there was
studio
a live audience.
Live
I
audience?
Saw like the fuck.
They're screaming at you. I was throwing gobbets of raw meat at him. It was great, man.
Throwing raw meat at Gordon.
It was cool. Yeah.
That's What was it like meeting and getting to film with Gordon Ramsay?
He has a gravitational force around him that I have never experienced with anybody in my entire life. Like,
is he hot?
He's
in
pretty
real life?
Hot.
I mean,
like,
is he hot?
No,
in
he
real
is.
Life, you know how like sometimes. I don't think he's hot, but like if I met him, would I be like, shit?
Oh, sometimes, you would fall.
He'd be like, thank you, love.
Some of his first words were about how hot his wife was and how if you were him, you also couldn't stop impregnating her. You know, because like Rhett was like, which again, magnetism, right? Rhett was like, hey, congrats, his latest son, is that what they say? His latest son had just been
his
birthed.
His most recent son just dropped.
New son just dropped. And Rhett was like, hey, congratulations. And then Gordon was like, he was like, what is that, your 7th kid? And Gordon's like, yeah, 7. And if you saw my wife, Tana, you'd understand why I couldn't stop. And we're just like, right, those sandwiches, right?
Holy shit.
It was very sweet. And it was definitely like meant to be praising his wife. But also like, we've known this man for 8 seconds. He's talking about fucking his wife.
Yeah, I would say that.
Impregnated.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well,
wow,
I,
that's awesome.
Very cool. And honestly, love that. We also were invited on that show. I don't know if you guys know this.
I did because I had to deal with it with the calendar.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We were invited to compete on Gordon Ramsay's show, and he, as part of the reach out, they were like, and we will be on one of your shows. And we're like, holy shit, Gordon Ramsay on phoning it in. It's happening for the next season. We want to do a bit where we use a voice changer so you don't even know who the chef is.
Oh,
so like,
so
I probably would have brought you in. Gordon Ramsay is coaching you and you don't know until, you know, whatever.
You'd know. Wow. His fucking cadence.
Yeah, you would know.
Also, would you want to milk him?
Who's calling me a donut?
Yeah, well, right.
The audience would know, the contestant wouldn't know.
That'd be so good.
And then, so we were ready. We put our hold on the calendar. We got our little hotel rooms. Ghosted.
No way.
No way.
Gordon Ramsay ghosted us.
Was it Justin? Were you talking to Justin? Okay, I don't know.
Maybe it went to spam.
I think what happened was they got you guys and they said, we
yes.
good.
Oh, suck it.
We already got
that shit.
You see all those awards?
I have a gold signal award. What do you have?
Yeah, what do you have, Zach?
I don't have a signal award.
And Miles?
Well, I've got a signal award. It's silver. And I also have the Webby that I stole from The Office.
I want to get into the actual.
It could have also been Zach King. They could have replaced you with Zach King.
I also, by the way, don't blame him. Love Zach King.
Okay, I love that outfit up there.
Oh, that is awesome. Look
I think
that
they
thing.
Covered that in magnets and then threw Rhett and Link at like a board, like a wall to stick to.
Oh, that's sick. Oh. So that's all magnets?
No, yeah, I think they took the magnets out of it.
They realized it was like a hazard to the electronics in the office.
Hello.
Everybody, we got the tripod in the building. Can we come through?
So we're here in the actual Mythical Kitchen now. Just call this the kitchen? Do you call this the set?
We literally call this the Mythical Kitchen.
Yeah, okay, right on.
The Mythical Kitchen.
And then that is just the kitchen.
The regular kitchen.
I love this kitchen. I love it. What the fuck is this? Why is it so hairy?
Oh, there's so much hair in it.
Ew.
Okay, so we're in the middle.
I want to eat it.
If you want to. Do we have enough?
Yeah. What the fuck? Is it edible?
Well, no, it's like doll's hair, right? What kind of hair is it? It's wig hair.
I can't tell what smells are this and what smells are the world around me, because I smell like
something very savory.
Yeah, like
we're making beef. I smell
the jerky.
I smell the jerky, and then my nose goes to this, and it is hairy, and it is pink, and it does look. It's like when things start to sweat. That's concerning. But I smell the sweetness of this, but I still smell the jerky. So the jerky's not this.
And the hair. And the hair is, and talk to me about the hair.
Well, no, I'll tell you about the hair. I'm so glad you asked, because we're shooting our short form day, which is where we bang out like 10 TikToks in a day, probably about 7 because we're doing this instead.
That's a good idea. Hey, Zach, take notes on our schedule.
But anyway, so we're doing that. We do this series where we generally try and take trends and then just put our own little fucky fuck twist on them. And so people will make expensive.
Did he just say fucky fuck?
Oh, I did like that.
I like that. That's cool.
That's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so people will make expensive foods on TikTok. Be like, this pizza's $1,000 and we put gold leaf and all this. We made a farcical version of that where we'll take like a fake Rolex watch and just like bake it inside of a meatloaf.
That's so
And so this
awesome.
Is how we made a $27,000 meatloaf. And so this is actually
stupid.
This is Annalise's so incredible joke idea where instead of using a fake diamond, we're saying that this is Taylor Swift's hair that we bought on eBay for $34,000. And we made a certificate of authenticity for Taylor Swift's.
That is a beautiful job.
Now, okay, so I know that like cooking is content, but how much food is just here at any given time? And if we wanted a little treat, would you oblige?
Zach is often requesting a little. Well, yeah. Sorry, is it vegan?
Is it a little vegan treat? Because I am dairy free.
What do we got? Do we have any little treats for him?
I'll eat honestly. If you tell me this hairy cupcake is edible, I will eat it. Well, I'll eat it. But like,
I'd be worried about the wig hair.
I'm worried
because also the wig hair has been baked too, so I don't think heat.
So it is carcinogenic.
Definitely.
What is this like ear that's inside of it?
I think it's you know when spaghetti noodles stick together in the butt. I think the hair's a bunch of hair.
Oh my god.
What about just some of the cake batter? Is there hair in the cake batter?
Like, how often are y'all just cooking up little treats for shits and giggies?
Kind of often, Lily. You made that really, really great pork last week.
Oh yeah, I had leftover pork. Like scraps, and I made some like chili pork.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of family meal in here.
So. You guys do family meal?
Yeah, not like every day, but.
Wow, that's the best.
So, Josh, like, what are you doing today? Like, what? You wake up.
Yeah.
And then you get to the office, and you're not just cooking.
You're on your computer. I'm doing almost no cooking.
Oh, okay.
You're living the dream.
No, it sucks. That's all I wanted to do. And in any creative profession, the more
successful you get, the less you do the thing that made you successful.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah.
Which is why when we do stuff like family meal, like we'll have leftover proteins and ingredients. I'll come in here during my lunch break and I'll whip up something.
Your 20-year trajectory is going to be like this bell curve of success where the more successful you are, the less tapped into your happiness you'll be.
Yep.
And then you're just going to be like, how do I get back to...
This is so dark.
Run away, start a fish taco stand in Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah,
that's where we're going.
Or the movie Chef. It's sort of just that one for one.
Like, pretty much.
No matter how successful you get in the field, you just go like, how do I get back to that place when I was broke and just doing it?
What would that be for you, Zach?
Probably a crab shack in, what did you say, Encinitas?
In Antonio?
Don't compete with me in the Cape Town American seafood market. There can only be one.
And well, you're just
you
for
know.
Fun.
Be one.
Crab shack. Yeah.
My success is going head-to-head with Josh and... No, it's
your success is going head to head with Josh in a crab shack
situation
and losing to Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I really want to be on a homestead.
Oh.
I want to have chickens, collect eggs, ride my horse, maybe.
I love that you said collect eggs as if they're as if you have to find where they are. I have to collect eggs out in the woods. Where are the eggs today?
Bake some bread, walk around.
That sounds awesome, right? Honestly. I really like that as an end goal for raining.
As an end goal.
We had an interesting...
we got a cookbook.
So yes, this is a mythical cookbook. These handsome men right here, they own our company, not him.
Nope. I do not. I don't own my IP.
You got equity yet? No, he doesn't.
He just eats ribs just like that out of the trash can.
Oh.
Yeah, look at him over the... He can see a little trash can.
You know, yeah, they photoshopped him in. He was actually over the trash can.
We haven't seen Rhett and Link in 2.5 years. Yeah. Anything we shoot with them, it's just the shoots, the shots are separate. Yeah.
So they have some cool recipe. Oh, this is actually all of us.
Oh, you had your
face. So
look at
cute.
Us. We're the all pictures in hippie are so great. Outfits, color matching, of course. And yes, her hair is actually red.
Oh, it was deep red in that.
It was super deep red.
Damn.
But there's what's some... one page that no one's seen? Oh, I like that picture.
Oh, show my author bio photo. Show my author bio photo. It's towards the end. It's good. Oh, this is a good one.
Oh, these
one.
Are so aww. Cute.
This one's all of us.
I really love cookbook photos. Like, they bring me so much joy.
This is also one of my favorite pictures.
Oh, with the baby octopus and the popcorn? Yes.
Because I would actually do that at the movies.
I used to eat a lot of squid.
I'm sorry,
the
you
theater.
Brought octopus to the movies?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I just never heard of it being done. Don't act like it's so common. I'm
guessing you got your own octopus. You brought it there.
Yes, I did.
Uh huh.
I got it from Seattle. My uncle lives there. He ships me octopus in bulk form, and then I take it to the movies and eat it like popcorn.
Dried or fried or what? I don't know. Something different.
Fried. Oh, yeah. You know the deal.
Love a fried.
So, what's the easiest recipe in here?
This is a good picture. We
beef
we shot this
ragu.
With the caveat that this picture will never go in the book. So this is a test. This is a testicle ragu held in front of my actual testicles.
And why? And then you're saying that photo won't go in the book?
Well, when we shot it, we were like, surely our publisher will never want this.
And it turned out they weren't really paying attention.
Correct.
Love
and
that.
They don't have time to pay attention.
That's smart. You put it at the end of the book.
Yeah. I found the easiest recipe. It's a bowl of liquid.
Link's smoothie.
Wait. Turn the page on Link's smoothie. I'm really proud. Turn back. So this is a fully animated children's story about Link's smoothie. This is called The Tale of Horrible, No Good, Grumpy Old Smoothie Man. You want me to do a dramatic reading?
I like this, too. If we just keep playing this game, people won't even have to buy the book. That's we're just going to still frame through this episode.
I don't know what's going on with my brain, but there's definitely some terms. And so I started writing a head note, and the head note just turned into a fully animated children's story. Every morning, the villagers rejoice over breakfast. Burritos with grease-stained tortillas that barely, just barely, hide the cheesy treasures inside. Omelets so fluffy, they look as if they should float among the clouds. Coffees and teas and juices and donuts and cakes, and oh, how you wouldn't believe the array of schmears and dollops and drizzles. The maple syrup river is flowing, the bagels roll freely down the lush green hills, and everyone sings merrily, for they are eating breakfast.
My favorite part is just Nicole grumpily typing in the background as if Josh pulls this shit like 3 times a day.
Yeah, read me again.
Well, not everyone. Off in the distance, past Hamsteak Hill and over the tippy top of Bacon Forest, you'll see the scowl of a lonely man who ceased his morning merrymaking long ago. He growls and frowns and winces as he lifts a cup of thick, gray-green sludge to his lips. Breakfast shouldn't be fun, the angry glasses man says. Link wears glasses. Breakfast is about routine. Breakfast is about practicality. Breakfast is about nutrition. He takes another long, self-assured slurp. A spinach smoothie is the only proper breakfast. He feels a gentle tug on his dusty brown sweatshirt. But mister, my mom said that if every villager doesn't eat a delicious breakfast, then Robo Vulture will snatch us up in his talons of steel and drag us to the gray place. It's little... Stevie Swoopy, the tiniest villager of them all, who climbed all the way up Mount Marmalade to spread the message of breakfast cheer. Stupid children's stories, Glasses Man says as he swats Stevie Swoopy's tiny hand away. Almost as stupid as eating a bowl of sugary cereal for breck... Glasses Man is interrupted by the horrible shriek of a million nails scratching a million chalkboards. The ground shakes and the granola grass stirs beneath his feet as a terrifying shadow descends. A voice booms from beneath the beating metal wings. Horrible, no good, Glasses Man. Your sins cannot go unpunished. Glasses Man drops his smoothie and stares up at the monstrous robotic bird. No, it's simply not possible. But his protests are drowned out by the sound of the villagers as they ascend the ridge.
Gray place. They chant.
Gray place.
Panicking, Glasses Man looks down and sees Stevie Swoopy's eyes now glowing red. Gray place. And so,
wow.
That's the editor definitely didn't know that was coming.
They read none of the book.
No,
they read none of the book.
When does this book come out?
March 11th.
And I don't know if people know how this little fun game works, but if you pre-order it, you help Josh.
It's really
you help
good
the whole
to
team rise
book.
Right to the yeah. top because oh. all of pre-orders count as week one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is good. That's a good tip.
So if you want to help this team get on the bestseller list, you buy that shit now. It is so cool to like to have something like real that you made, and then at the end of this, people are going to be making your recipes. Hopefully, not the bull testicle one.
Hopefully, it's actually really good. It's really good.
Where the fuck are they going to get their own bull testicle?
I don't know, man. Wherever you
butcher.
Get bull testicles.
Butcher. Amazon.
Amazon's going to drop the price of bull testicles. You're going to see that it's a hot item, and then all your local bull testicle sellers are going to be out of business.
But you're going to have people sending you photos of them ingesting your recipe.
Yeah, no, as somebody who's been in professional recipe development for 10 years, I would know nothing about what that feels like. That's crazy, Zach. Wow.
I was going to say, Zach, it feels like you think he just released his first video or something.
Done.
Yeah. You see all the awards in that conference?
The cookbook that I published in 2016. Like,
well, no one bought that
one. Know about that. Same photo team, actually.
Well, Zach always, at the office, you can see him. He's always looking through his book, and he's just sort of reading through it to himself, laughing aloud.
It's how I remember my life.
Yeah.
This is nice to me. This is a plate. This is a tray of all the ingredients you'd need. And I think I would cook a lot more if I had that.
Well, that's
mise
all.
Mise en place.
Thank you for doing all the mise en place. You do the Lord's work.
Like, that's fun.
I can't see. I'm blocked. But, I thought you were talking about the trash can.
So that's for the strawberry cupcakes, the $34,000 strawberry cupcakes, the Taylor Swift Terror. We're actually going to start by making, that's just like a very good, legit strawberry cupcake recipe with dehydrated strawberry powder, actual like macerated strawberries, a little bit of cream cheese, just kind of like thicken it. Oh, cream cheese frosting. That's fun. We're going to ruin it with hair from a wig.
Show us. Let's look inside your refrigerator.
Let's go. Let's check in the fridge.
I want to know what just
I'll do it. No, Nicole, you take it.
Let me show them what it
is. I'm going to go grab a fizzy beverage.
Okay.
I would love a fizzy beverage.
Ooh, dealer's choice.
Yeah.
I'm not allergic to anything.
Chef's choice. Yes, chef.
Thank you, chef.
Yes, chef.
Do you guys say that a lot here?
Thank you, chef. Yeah, that must have been a big moment.
Yeah.
Hey, baddies. Welcome to my crib. So this is the Mythical Kitchen fridge.
Ooh, empty.
Ooh, yum.
So
this looks like someone who, like in college, what their fridge would look like.
A little bit.
It's just condiments and some leftover from 8 weeks ago.
A little serial killery, but you know, that might be on brand sometimes. We have a lemon pepper flavored Walmart. Is this Walmart? Walmart rotisserie chicken. And then this is something Lily is working on for GMM.
Whoa.
It's incredible.
What is it? Is it a turkey?
Is this a stuffing covered turkey?
She'll explain it.
We do this thing called Inside Out Foods. And so instead of putting the turkey on the outside, it's going to go on the inside. And the stuffing, instead of the inside, it's going to go on the outside.
That's awesome.
Isn't this incredible? Look
That's
at
so
it.
That's so cool.
Look at that. Painstakingly molded by Lily Cousins
And
herself.
Then you're going to put turkey on the outside of the stuff.
In the inside.
In the inside.
Oh, you're back with the bubblies.
I have beach plum LaCroix. I have key lime.
I'm going to go key lime because I do think that beach plum tastes a little like sunscreen.
Well, so, okay. So you asked earlier, like, what my normal day is like. So earlier today, we had the founder of Noma's Fermentation Lab in to record for their podcast. And they did a call-in section, and somebody called in and asked how they flavor the key lime and limoncello LaCroix, and she has a PhD in flavor chemistry.
Oh.
And so she was like, I've never had them. And I run to the fridge and I grab the key lime and limoncello and she tastes it and she's immediately like, okay, so it's obviously some sort of vanillin or a vanillin base to try and get that sort of creaminess that you'll get from the dairy. And then they're probably using a natural, and she just went, she was like, there's probably butyric acid in there. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing. And I'm so dumb. I was the dumbest person in the room. There were probably like five other people on this podcast, and they all knew so much more about food than me, and it was so cool.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
The room you want to be in.
So this is, which one is the one that tastes like sunscreen? I want
to
try it.
I feel like beach plum. Well, no, this is key lime. This is the one that they had on the podcast earlier. To me, beach plum or coconut-flavored stuff often tastes like sunscreen.
Definitely.
And LaCroix in general kind of tastes like it's a candle. I feel like that to me recently.
I've
moved to the Spindrift game, which I know. Hey, we're doubling
you
the price.
Rich.
And I'm living
large. I'm
going to
go ahead and say it. Too much flavor.
Malibu, I think, tastes like sunscreen in a good way.
What's Malibu, like the rum?
Yeah.
Rainey's always sipping at the office. She's always drinking rums.
Malibu.
My brother's like a big wine guy, and I had never gotten to wine because I didn't want the thing that he had. Mm. And so I got really into making cocktails. Uh-huh. And so he came over one day, and I spent like 12 hours trying to like make a really cool cocktail. I was trying to do like a modern take on a tiki drink. And so I made like a coconut vinegar shrub and infused like rum with lemongrass. I did all the stuff, and I made it, and I tasted it, and it was really good. And then he tasted it, and he goes, "It's like Malibu and pineapple." And then I tasted it. I was like, oh, shit. I accidentally just made Malibu from scratch.
That's awesome.
I definitely want to hear more about your, like, you and your brother's relationship.
Yeah. And also, because you sort of seemed to be a little competitiveness there.
Yeah. We had him on the podcast once.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
It's called Is Wine a Scam?
That's your award-winning podcast?
Yeah. The award-winning, yeah.
The award-winning
Gold Signal Award. What color is your Signal Award?
Oh, it's silver, unfortunately. Silver, I know it's summer. Not gold. I have a question for you about two things. One, because you're a food man, have you been to the French Laundry? That's sort of my dream trip, is to go and sample the local fare.
I never have. I've never been to a 3-Michelin-starred restaurant. I've only been to a couple twos.
I went to Providence in LA, and it was by far the most amount of money I've ever thought about spending on food.
Okay,
but it was incredible.
I bet you have a foodographic memory. I want you to think, do you have in your mind right now, if I said the best bite of blank, best bite of chicken you've ever had?
I bet I could figure it out.
What's the best bite of chicken you've ever had?
The best bite of chicken that I ever had. This is a really trite answer. It's actually Howlin' Ray's. Original days, and it was their chicken breast. It was the first bite of chicken that ever got me to understand how good a chicken breast could be. It ate like a steak in its purity. And just the way it was seasoned. This is back in his food truck days before he ever had a standalone restaurant. I was one of the first people to, not to brag, to write about the spot, because it was a truck that posted up like a half mile from my brother's apartment. And so we used to brown bag wine and just walk there. So I was the first person to ever have.
Into wine.
He's into wine. I don't know if you've heard. Yeah, but I think that's still the best bite of chicken I've ever had.
Best bite of fish.
Okay, so we're just going down
best
the,
bite of fish,
going down the list.
Anna Jack Thai. So they did a whole branzino, but there's a dude named Lee Wei who owns a spot called The Joint. He started maybe America's first dry-aged fish program. And so he was dry-aging branzino, and then he gave that to Justin Pichette Rungsi over at Anna Jack, and then he made this whole branzino dish with, there's a fried fish with, green apple dish in Thai cuisine. And he made a version of that, but it had this beautiful, just like strained cilantro, green apple jus. Whoa. Best bite of fish I ever had. So, Pierre.
Best bite of sandwich.
Here we go.
Best bite of sandwich.
I'm really fucking into this.
No, I'm loving this. Okay. The way you talk is poetry.
Yeah, I know. It really. I also want to know about, so you were a food critic or you were a food reviewer?
So a food critic wouldn't have said that I was a food critic, but a normal person would have said I was a food critic.
Okay, you wrote about food.
Correct, and I would critique.
You had like a letterboxed, but for food?
No, it was for Los Angeles Magazine, and I wrote
Why would people say what you weren't a real food critic?
So in capital J journalism, I want to talk about my sandwich in a sec, but in capital J journalism,
that one's
there's
on
like very specific kinds of writing, and criticism is a very specific style of writing engage in. Mm. And there tend to be a lot of rules about food critics, right? Mm-hmm. Some would say if you're not anonymous, you cannot properly be a food critic. And there's still one anonymous critic in LA named Bill Addison. I've seen him once.
I'm pretty sure I know his name.
Yeah.
How anonymous can he be?
Nobody knows what his face looks like.
Apparently. It's obviously you.
Have you tried going on Facebook? I'm sure we could figure this out.
No, he has actually maintained, Jonathan Gold even was anonymous, quote unquote, until 5 years before he tragically passed.
Yeah.
But everybody knew what he looked like because he was a larger than life man and very famous. Mm-hmm. But Bill Addison still can fly under the radar. But when I was working, host stands would have pictures of me at the restaurants because there were only eight food journalists in LA.
Yeah.
And so they would just have descriptions and pictures and also lists of aliases we went by. And I only had one. It was Thorbild Jakobsen. I went on a
Thorbild
Jakobsen. I would speak in a bit of a Norwegian accent. That's nice. It's my father's name. I mostly go by Thor.
They've got a picture of you, and you're like, that's not Thorbild.
I was a traveling fiber optic cable salesman.
They're like, we didn't ask. We're just going to seat you.
Most people don't just come in yelling their job in a fake accent.
Yeah. Josh is fully undercover. He's in a trench coat with someone else underneath it. Hi, I'm Thorbild Jakobsen. I just come here for the conference.
Hello,
but not mind me.
Too many pops.
Yeah, how many people? Well, let me tell you about my mother.
My mater.
My mater.
It's a heart that's a dentated mater.
Anyways, yeah, so that was the deal with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Sandwich. So sandwich. It's Woodrose in Philadelphia. So they make a cheesesteak. Problem with fancy cheesesteaks is most places get it wrong, but this spot, they just hit all the proportions right, and then they make their own homemade truffled cheese whiz, which is really incredible. So you have like all of the trappings of just a normal dirtbag cheesesteak, which is the bread's a little too soft. It's all a little too wet. Uh-huh. It's all a little too greasy. It's that, but with this beautiful homemade truffled cheese whiz that keeps all of the form that you love, like that Bauhausian nature of a cheesesteak of like it is inimitable in its actual form. And then you get that little bit of just truffle whiz on there, taking away that like plasticine aspect of actual cheese whiz.
You're gonna be so hungry.
Fucking gorgeous, man. So good.
That's beautiful.
How do you feel about American cheese?
Love it.
Yeah.
It's okay. So good. What do you do? It's
great. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I do apologize for that reaction.
There's different
different
grades of
it's
American cheese.
It's perfect melter.
It's perfect melter.
And there's some new innovations coming out in the American cheese. There's a chef named Eric Greenspan who used to
because it's synthetic, right?
What do you mean by synthetic? What do you think American cheese is?
Isn't it like not real cheese?
How do they make it? How do they make it?
Like with chemicals in a lab?
What kind of chemicals?
I don't know a single chemical.
Is your argument that it's like, well, it's food broken down, processed in that way, so it is therefore food?
All food is chemicals. MSG, right? Monosodium glutamate, which we all know the racist history of now, yada yada. It's literally just found in seaweed, and that's how they initially synthesized it. It just exists. MSG just exists. It's in tomatoes. It's in anything that's been fermented. Huh. But people would say, well, it's a chemical. So the chemical that makes American cheese is called sodium citrate, and all it does is it binds water with fat and protein. So it's an emulsifier. Oh. And so American cheese is just cheese mixed with milk.
Oh, interesting.
That's
okay.
The best.
I stand corrected.
That's it.
And you didn't think you were going to learn today, but you just did.
Next
audience.
Please vote us for Single Awards 2024. We have cool guests.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of videos of people taking a lighter to cheddar cheese and then taking a lighter to American cheese.
Right. I think that's what I've seen.
Mm.
Yeah. So the reason that happens is the cheddar cheese, the fat is simply separating from the protein in the water when it is applied with direct heat. Whereas the sodium citrate in American cheese is just making sure that it doesn't. And sodium citrate is a very simple chemical, actually. Mm. And it, there's a lot of harmful stuff to actually worry about in food. Mm. Glyphosate seems bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of hundreds of million dollars. Yeah, it's on everything, so you're fine. So you can't avoid it. But anyways.
Is it in Europe? Because isn't it like when you go to Europe, you feel better because the food is better?
I think you're just walking.
Oh. People
you're
say
probably
that.
On vacation.
Mm. Well, people
and
say it's
you're
like
not
the weed
stressed.
Or something. I don't know. But I'm curious to hear about that. Is that bullshit?
I don't think it's completely bullshit because I've heard people gluten intolerance, yada, yada, but I think it's mostly that you're likely on vacation.
And you feel good.
You feel fucking better on vacation.
You poop way better on vacation.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And you're like active and walking around and not stressed about your job.
Shout out to vacation poops in the chat. You know? Leave a vacation poop in the chat.
BP's
Josh,
done.
With the time we have left here, we're getting to live out many a fan's fantasy by being here in the office. I want to know... Show me some of your faves. I want to see your favorite pot.
And maybe we just
I'm
show
thinking,
one.
Yeah.
Just be and maybe
round.
We just show one, and then we hit the last segment.
Oh, there's only one tool that I like.
Does the audience know this?
Okay.
This one, man.
Wooden spoon.
Yeah. You can,
no,
well,
I
no,
agree.
It's a flat
I
build.
Agree.
It's a flat build. Tell this me. Way you can scrapey at it,
oh,
but also
awesome.
You can scoopy at it.
That's huge. Yeah.
So this is a wooden spoon with a flat edge, and it looks like it's worn to shit.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is
used.
Seen.
Feel it smooth.
This is seen.
Heavily smoothed.
Yeah.
This wood spoon has seen some stuff.
Check this out. This wood spoon, rough, hardly ever used, because you can't scrapey. What are you getting?
Yeah,
you
can't be scrapey
contact.
With that.
This one.
That's awesome.
Boy, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I'll tell you what. I got my. I need to work on my. I'm looking at all your knives over here. I need to work on my sharpening.
Yeah.
I got a whetstone, and I find it to be so fucking difficult.
So hard.
By the way, if you're going to try and rob a YouTuber, don't let it be Mythical Kitchen. They got lots of stabby things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and we're all a little on edge all the time.
Yeah, too. We'll stab the shit out of you, actually.
You got the free Red Bulls, and it's not. There's so Red Bull once got sued because there's not enough caffeine in it.
Not enough?
Because it doesn't give you wings, right?
It doesn't give you... Well, it cannot legally be considered an energy drink because...
What?
My theory is that it's European and Europeans don't understand how much caffeine we consume.
I feel like it's crazy. It makes me feel crazy.
No, placebo.
They got sued
coffee is
for not being
placebo?
Unhealthy enough.
Yeah. I got like $3 in the mail from that, yeah.
Because you drank, because you like signed the petition that was like, I drink Red Bull at this time
no,
period?
No, I got just, I signed up on the Red Bull website and they emailed me. But no, we have free Red Bulls. And so I drink all of them, but there's not enough caffeine. So I have to drink three a day. And then it's the taurine that gets you.
How much
and
caffeine?
Not coffee?
You there's don't... 87 milligrams of caffeine in one of those. So you have to drink three to get up to about 260, which is about what a grande coffee from Starbucks would have.
Huh. And you just like the taste better than coffee?
Yeah. If we had cold brew, I'd drink that, but we don't.
You don't like
but cold brew is high.
All right, you hear that, Rhett and Link? Yeah. Mythical Kitchen wants a little cold brew machine.
Smosh has cold brew.
Smosh has cold brew on
tap? Like canned. Well, no, just canned. Well,
yeah. Show us your favorite place to sit and think.
Okay, come here. Come here.
Whose office is this?
This is Kevin. Kevin is a VP. We got about 15 VPs now.
What? You have a ripstick?
We got a ripstick.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's so sick.
What's a ripstick?
So, okay. Ripstick is a way to travel, Zach. Think about the best the way to travel way from the future. Think about the most efficient way to possibly travel.
You got to wiggle your back foot constantly to keep it moving. And in college, when we were too drunk to sleep, we would take all of our skateboards and we'd go to the parking garages in Santa Barbara. And we'd just bomb the parking garages and we'd try and take skate videos. But we had one friend who had a ripstick.
Mm.
And this man would be, 9 Jaeger bombs deep. And we'd be at the top of a parking garage and he'd jump on the ripstick.
That's 18 drinks.
That's 18 drinks. And the fact that this man is still alive today.
That's impressive.
That is, I mean, I used to bike home from the bar in college. And there was a couple times when I remember waking up on my bike while it was moving. That also used to happen because I opened the...
That is.
You can get a DUI.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. what's the statute of limitations? No, I would open the coffee shop and I would be so tired in the morning after like going out partying that I would remember being on my bike and I just remember leaving my house and then waking up on my bike. Like that feeling of waking up from slumber while I was in motion. Mm-mm. And it was very scary and it rocked me to my core.
Well, Josh, as an avid viewer of the Tripod, award-winning in our own way, I'm sure you know what's next.
Well, I've never seen it. I'm sorry. I listened to one episode,
God,
and you're
like
not gonna
so
like.
Embarrassing.
You're it's not like, gonna like the episode that I listened to.
It's like it's a good thing that like you do have a successful business because it's like bringing your friend around who just like thinks that everybody pays attention.
What is the one episode you listened to?
I don't want
to
tell you.
Well, tell me.
I don't want to bring it up.
Of course, it's what happened. Of course, it's what happened. What do you mean?
What was the title? It was something like
period.
We Need to Talk. Really.
No, it's called What Happened. Period.
It was called What Happened. Period.
By far the most viewed episode.
Did you like it?
I thought it was I thought it was good. I want to know what happened. I've only listened to one episode of Ear Biscuits, and it was Have We Ever Kissed? And then like 3 minutes in, they said no, and I clicked out.
You got the answer.
Got the answer. They should have delayed that.
They clickbaited you. Yeah. Yeah. I do that too.
What Happened Part 2? Not a bad idea for a clickbait.
Rhett and Link did that with their, like, they did the whole, like, spiritual deconstruction thing, and they just did, like, Spiritual Deconstruction Part 2 Electric Boogaloo, and they're like, still don't believe in God.
And, that's awesome.
It works, man.
That's baller.
Well, Josh, you strike me as a man that has a lot of things figured out, but you also kind of strike me as a guy who needs advice. Can I get an uh-huh?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And when we need advice... Should we close the door? Slamming the door seems like
there was something
choice.
About closing the door that really rubbed me the wrong way, and I don't know why.
Zach was like, I don't think anybody else should really.
Yeah, it was like, what's gonna. By the way, I'm looking at a diagram of someone showering
it's
in the
Link.
Corner. That's it's Link? Link?
Yeah.
Not even someone.
This is advice that'll go for miles with your host, Miles Bonsignore.
It's advice that'll go 4 miles. Tune it to your radio station. It's advice that'll go 4 miles. Everyone get ready, Miles Nation. Miles Nation, go. It's advice that'll go 4 miles. Advice that'll go 4 miles.
Have you ever wanted to rediscover what it is to kiss?
Yeah, a lot.
But what about if I told you you could kiss while also being healthy for you about it?
Oh. I'd like that, I think.
I want you to grease up your fingers, prepare to lift off, Because I've been eating scrambies with my fingies.
I'm sorry, is the advice that you've been eating scrambled eggs with your fingers?
I have been having a premonition about how I should have scrambled
eggs.
And I'm using my fingies about it because basically, now hold on everyone, okay, let's pump the brakes. Basically what I've been doing is making scrambies for my baby. In the morno.
He's a father.
I'm a father.
Congrats.
Can you believe that?
Hey, can you believe that? Sometimes I think about it, I'm like, that's crazy. But I make scrambies for my baby in the morning, and then he's eating them with his fingies. Mm-hmm. What am I going to get out a spoon, drop the spoon onto his little platter?
Okay.
Because he's going to scramby. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, I might as well have a taste with my fingies. Mm. And I found that it sort of made me rediscover scrambies in a fun way.
Josh,
we have claws on our arms, and they're called hands.
Josh, as a cookbook author coming out in March or whatever.
Already wrote a cookbook, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, but you
second.
I'm plugging two-time.
So as an award-winning podcast host, two-time cookbook author, what is your thought on the mind-body-food connection?
Oh, I actually think it's really important. There are a lot of cultures that primarily eat with their hands, and they also tend to have better relationships with food than I think we do in America. Also, the Church of England banned forks because they said that it was against God, and God already granted us the utensils that we need, and I fully agree with that.
Well, sometimes I've been, you know, when you're at a fancy restaurant and they have like wings on the menu, it's kind of a toss-up. It's sort of like I remember going to a fancy restaurant and we ordered like ribs or something, and they came out and they were all beautifully plated, and me and my wife were looking around like, are we supposed to fucking use a fork on this? Like, that's crazy. And we did it, and we saw, like, other people around were sort of, like, gently going in, and we were like, we're going to use our ham hocks to suck down these ribs.
Going back for a second, you said that the Church of England, like, you can't have forks. Because certainly British people use forks.
No, they don't.
But for a time, I believe it was in the 1500s, forks were seen as blasphemous. But I did a whole podcast about how we should ban forks.
Damn.
Again, but I want to talk about Sylvia Plath for a second.
Sylvia.
Have you guys read The Bell Jar?
I did long ago, though.
Okay,
in high school.
There's a scene where she's out with like a very famous poet. She's working for a literary agent, and he eats Caesar salad with his hands. But she says he does it so deftly and so confidently that to eat Caesar salad any other way would seem stupid by compare. And I know that it was all about male hubris and privilege.
Yeah, sure.
Except I read that as a dude, and I was like, dude, hand salads are in, baby. You know, and like, I'm not going to Google what happened to Sylvia Plath. I hope she had a long career, though.
Spoiler alert.
So. Should we go eat something with our hands before we leave? Do you have a salad
here?
We
certainly don't have time for that. But Zach, it's been awesome to have you on the podcast.
Gotta wash this whisk now. I dropped it.
If you had one cookie, because I'm also sort of a cookie at home, I cook.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
Okay.
I'm sort of a cookie. And what do you think is an underrated food that people should be cooking more in their own homes that they might be intimidated about?
I think everybody should cook chicken adobo. I don't know if people are particularly
cool.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a very simple like chicken braised dish. If you really break it down, I mean, you need five ingredients. It's like soy, vinegar, garlic, onion, and like some peppercorns. Bay leaf if you got it. Mm-hmm. And it is delicious, nutritious, hearty. Also just want to promote vegetables, man.
Oh yeah.
Eat a vegetable. They're great.
Honestly, making salad is pretty easy. Also, what do you think about bay leaves? Do you think they add flavor or do you think it's a hoax?
Bay leaves absolutely do add flavor. We've tested.
I think it's a hoax. Rainey is hot on the boots on the ground saying that bay leaves are bullshit.
You know what bay leaves are? Bay leaves to me are love. They are when you say I've cooked with love, all you really mean is I added an imperceptible bay leaf and I don't know why, but it's because the person before me told me to. And so it's that implicit trust.
I do love really that.
But scientifically, they are definitely doing things.
Yeah. Because they add flavor.
Yeah, it's like a leaf. That you're putting in your thing.
This episode could be 4 hours long because I want to keep putting coins in your machine about food stuff.
And when you cook, you use oil.
Yeah, I do.
Sorry, Zach. Zach doesn't cook. His butler does it. although he does have a doven.
A what?
Double oven. What are your thoughts on having a doven?
Oh, double oven.
You two ovens.
Like, two ovens. That's really cool for somebody who doesn't cook. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, the butler uses.
Can I come over? And like,
honestly, yes.
Actually, that'd be fun, yeah.
Josh came to our holiday party, and he said that he wanted to cook for me, and I need to take advantage
of
that.
You've got to take him up on that, Zach. That's a big opportunity
for
you.
You know what we've been doing? Okay, actually, this is huge.
I also told Quasi I was going to Trinidad with him.
Oh, yeah. Clancy's trying to get everyone to go to Trinidad.
I really want to go to Trinidad.
That sounds amazing. I would be so thrilled. We've been doing as a little nighttime treat, baked apples.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, dude, love a baked apple.
We've been, you core that motherfucker out, pour in some honey, some allspice or cinnamon, and then you just let it rip. And then we have crushed candied walnuts that we put in the middle.
Dude.
And it is so easy.
That's awesome.
And it is so like warm and comforting, and you just feel like, ooh, it's winter, but I don't even care.
Are you putting it in the oven? It's like 425?
You put it in the oven for hundo.
Or hundy.
For a while, right? How long are you letting those bad boys run?
Forever.
What about an air fryer? Yeah. You think I could sort of hack time that way? with a baked apple?
You report back. I know you can do it just on like a stovepot.
I'm such a little air fryer slut that I really am not using my oven that much.
Yeah.
But it's because I had a bad oven previously.
I bet you if you had two of them, you'd change your tune.
You change your tune.
Two ovens and a butler, baby. That's all you need. That's all you need.
Josh, it was a real pleasure to infiltrate your world for an hour. You have anything you want to tell the people?
Nope.
Sick.